Well, let's turn in our Bibles once more to the first epistle of John and chapter 5. We're going to consider the first 5 verses, and there'll be a couple more times we look at this chapter. As we read it through, you will be aware there's a number of things to think about, which we will do. But we're going to look at the first 5 verses this evening. Not going to read them again, but I'll refer to them as we go through. 1 John chapter 5, that's page 1084 in the Church Bible. And my thoughts will be on particularly these first 5 verses. I've put as a title, Overcoming and Gaining the Victory. Now, John has some themes that he likes. We thought about love. That's very clear. That comes through both from his gospel and in this letter. Another theme is truth, very much in his gospel. John mentions that word many more times than the other gospel writers. And again, that comes through in his letter. Also notice there's certain words that John likes. So we have some words like know. A word is common, isn't it? But we know how good it is to know God in that personal way. Another word he likes is abide. How good it is to abide in Christ. Well, we have another word which John uses more than any other writer, and that's overcome or overcomes. And it's used around 24 times in the New Testament, 21 of which is by John, and some in Revelation. And so it's a word which John particularly uses. What does it mean? Well, we sometimes use the word in the setting someone might be overcome with an emotion, sometimes joy, perhaps sadness. That's a word we use. It's in the English language, we use words in different ways. But the word overcome here literally means to gain the victory. We might think in ancient times, think of that rather gruesome hand-to-hand combat. Well, it's very important if you're fighting that you overcome, because if you don't, you will be overcome. And so we can think about gaining a victory. In a modern situation, we're more likely to think about a sporting context of overcoming, and perhaps we favour the underdog. There doesn't seem any possibility that they will gain the victory, but then they do. They overcome and they win. Well, that's the idea of overcoming here. It's gaining a victory. It's conquering. And John is saying that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will gain that victory. You will gain eternal life in heaven. Not because you're good or better or religious, but because of Jesus Christ. And we'll notice that. So, as we think about that, it's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ will overcome. They will gain the victory. Your life may be full of worries and needs, perhaps trials, but the message of the Bible is that you will overcome through Christ. God may not take you out of the difficulty, but he will be with you in the difficulty, and you know that your hope is that in Christ you will overcome. John is saying that. We read that elsewhere in the New Testament. How can we be so sure? How can the Bible be so sure? Well, it's because the testimony of the New Testament is this, isn't it? That Jesus Christ has secured that victory for every believer. On the cross, he secured that victory. It wasn't a partial victory. He didn't partially overcome Satan or sin or death. He gained the complete victory. And he, because he overcame, the message of the Bible is that you also will overcome. In Revelation 12, in the vision of Satan being thrown out of heaven, how did they overcome Satan? Well, the testimony is, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb pointing to Jesus Christ. He's the one who gained the victory for them. He shed his blood so that sins could be forgiven. It was only through the shedding of blood that there could be forgiveness of sin. And he confirmed that triumph because he rose. He rose again the third day. And so the message, as we think of overcome, and we'll notice these verses, others as well, is that you will overcome if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, because Jesus Christ has overcome. And again, as we read in Revelation, he who overcomes will inherit all things. That is your blessing if you are a believer. So in your life, with God's help, you will overcome. And in death, every believer will be victorious. They will be with Christ. So that's a slightly different theme to what we've noted. But as we come now to these verses, I'm going to look at them. We'll come to the overcoming in a minute. Just going to notice, first of all, thinking of some of these phrases which John uses, just want to notice, born of God. So my first heading, born of God. Verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Again, notice verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Well, as we thought about John, what is he writing about? He's given us the evidences or the marks of a Christian. He's aware that there are false teachers. And John is wanting people to examine themselves, are they truly a Christian or not? Some of the false teachers have led them the wrong way, and they believe they're Christians when actually they were not Christians. And John is saying, stop and consider again. Do you bear these marks of Christianity? We'll notice them again because the verses notice them again. The doctrinal mark, the social mark, and the moral mark. And John comes to these here in these opening verses. But notice the beginning in verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Verse 1 and 4, it's mentioned. A Christian, we can say, is born of God. And right at the very beginning, that tells us that you cannot make yourself a Christian. You cannot be religious enough or good enough to be a Christian. Whatever you engage in, God must intervene. You must be born of God. So God works by the Holy Spirit and moves in the heart of each believer so that they then trust in Jesus Christ as Saviour. So these words tell us God must be at work. And you'll notice they're similar to words which John uses in his gospel. He uses the words born again. And Jesus in his ministry, when he met the Jewish leader Nicodemus at night, the Jews didn't really understand, and Jesus wanted to explain certain things to Nicodemus, who was a secret disciple, and he wanted to explain what it is to be born again. Sometimes we use the words new birth. They all tell us of the same thing. Now, Nicodemus struggled with that. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're going to be a believer, you must be born again if you're going to be a follower of Christ. Because only when God is at work by his Spirit can you truly understand spiritual truths. Nicodemus didn't get it. He was thinking, well, how can someone be born again? If they're going to become a baby again? And he was muddled. Well, what Jesus was saying and what John is reiterating here is that to be born of God or born again or have a new birth is to have spiritual life implanted by God. And when someone has spiritual life, they see things differently. It's as if their eyes are open spiritually. They can still see the effects of sin, but they also see the blessing of God. They have spiritual understanding. They can see their need of a Saviour because they are sinners. And they understand the truth of God. And it affects not just their thinking, but their hearts. And they embrace the truth because they are born of God. here in verse 1. There is truth to believe. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Jesus, the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah, that they believe that he is truly God's Son. He is born of God. So this being born of God enables someone to believe and to embrace the truths concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. An unbeliever doesn't have spiritual understanding. The Bible says different ways their eyes are blinded. They can read the Bible, they can read the great gospel truths pointing to Jesus, but it means nothing because they do not have the Holy Spirit at work in their life. So this being born of God tells us that this work is the sovereign act of God. It's usually through the gospel and the word of God, and the Holy Spirit takes that word which is read or preached and he brings that new life, that new beginning. Well, as we read chapter 5, verse 1, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Who is born of God? It's believers. Note the word whoever here. It's believers. So that's not just in a nominal sense, but it's those who personally embrace Jesus Christ. They understand that he died for their sin on the cross at Calvary. And it doesn't matter if you're young or old, if you feel you're insignificant or you don't, it doesn't matter what your status is, but if you are truly believing Jesus Christ, you are born of God. And being born of God, you are one of his children. That is the blessing. The Bible points, it is by faith, something emphasized here in these verses. When you embrace Jesus Christ by faith, then you are born of God. Notice verse 4 as well, it tells us about this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We're going to think about that a bit more in a moment, but there is a sense that there is ongoing faith as a result of the new birth. The new birth is the beginning, but a believer has ongoing faith to continue to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the evidence of the new birth, that you exercise that faith, that you live out your life following Christ. And we're going to notice those evidences again this evening. But no one can truly love or believe unless they have this new birth. They all spring from a new birth. In a moment I'm going to talk about, as it were, that circle of evidences. But the beginning is the new birth. A person cannot show the marks of a Christian, which John is emphasizing, unless they are born of God. So he's starting with this, and that's a beginning, isn't it? Someone might be a nice person, do good things, a kind person, and we appreciate such people, but it doesn't make them a Christian. Here is the truth, which John, of course, being close to Jesus, would have picked up from him, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." This is the beginning. Secondly, I want to think this evening, as we come to the main body of these verses, and I've just called it the circle of evidence. If you think about a circle, it goes round. Where is the beginning? Where is the end? Well, in a sense, it does have a beginning, but it continues round. And the beginning is being born of God, the new birth. And then following round from the new birth, there is those evidences, those things which flow from it, which give that evidence that someone is truly a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, as I said, mentions these several times in his letter. He comes to them again. Just briefly notice there is a doctrinal mark, that of believing in Jesus Christ. And that includes all fundamental doctrine. But the point that John makes regularly, and he does it again here, Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That's the essence. You cannot be a Christian unless you understand who Christ is. He's not a mere man or a prophet. He is the eternal Son of God, truly man and truly God. There's this social mark of loving one another. A Christian gives evidence to their faith. It goes on. They believe and then they continue by loving. They will love others. Love other believers. And if they love, what will they do? They will have the moral mark, which is keeping God's commandments. And we see them here. And you'll notice that the circle is here, that the commandments, as he mentions this, we go full circle because they comes back in verse 4 to being born of God. And then, as it were, we begin the circle again because verse 5 says, whoever believes, not just general, but that Jesus is the Son of God. And so we see these evidences confirm someone is born of God, but without being born of God, there could not be these evidences. And so we see there is this picture of a believer. Now, why does John mention these three marks of a Christian again? Partly because they are important for emphasis, but I think we can see in these verses here that all three go together. And the point is, if you take one of these out, then that suggests someone is not a Christian, because all three go together. If someone believes and embraces Jesus Christ, they will love others. They will desire to obey God and keep his commandments. Think of a loom where someone is weaving thread. There are three different coloured threads. They're all interwoven together to make the whole and a wonderful patterned scarf, perhaps, it is made. All three are needed. If you take one out and pull it out, the whole thing unravels. Well, a born-again believer has all three of these marks, these evidences of being a Christian. And in these verses, they all come together. So you see in verse 2 and 3, keeping the commandments. Love is mentioned in verses 1, 2 and 3. And believe, faith and believer are mentioned in verses 1, 4 and 5. And so all three are there. And all three flow. So look at verse 1. Whoever is born of God, and we've had whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And then it flows into, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. And so this believing, this faith, flows into love. And everyone who loves God also loves those who are children of God. How can someone say, as John has said very bluntly, that they love God and yet not love their brother or sister in Christ? How can they hate them? That's inconsistent, John is saying. And so this faith leads and flows in this circle of evidence into love. And if you think about it, if God the Father loves his children, and if the Lord Jesus Christ died to save God's children, and the Holy Spirit indwells these children, then it is unthinkable that believers, Christians, should not love one another. John has emphasized this. We talked about vertical love and horizontal love. A Christian has love to God. God loves them. They love God. How wonderful that is. But flowing from that love is that love to others, which is horizontal. It goes out to others. And John has emphasized it. We notice there are many verses, but just the previous chapter. John 4 verse 20 says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? So there's this two-directed love, and we've noticed that before, but it flows, doesn't it? There is this faith, this believing, which flows into love, and we love God. And then verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. So an evidence of that love to others is that we love God. All these things are interwoven, and we keep his commandments. So we are to just stop and pause again. Another word which John uses a lot. We know. By this we know. How do we know? Well, a Christian's love must be both to God and to others. And as we've noted here before, that love isn't a passing or temporary love. It's a genuine, real, practical, self-giving love to others. But what else? What flows from this love? Well, we notice it in John's Gospel. We notice it here. If someone loves God, they love Christ, they will want to keep his commandments. And so this circle of evidence goes on. Verse 2, we've had it. When we love God and keep his commandments, they go together. How can you say that you love God and then, well, I'll ignore what God says? Does a child who's dependent and loves their parents, if they love them, they're not going to ignore them. They may at times rebel, but they know in their heart that there is love. And they know that they want to show that love, if there is that true love there. So John is linking all these marks together. You cannot separate them. If you love the Lord, you will want to obey and keep his commandments. Now, to you, if you're familiar with the Bible, that seems, well, I understand that. And that flows, and I trust in your own heart. You will say, yes, I want to obey. It's because of God's love to me. I want to respond. But to the unbeliever, that's an alien idea. It's an alien concept. Why would you want to keep commandments? Why would you want to keep a set of rules, they would say? Well, you know the answer. It's love, isn't it? So verse 3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. An unbeliever doesn't get that. Surely commandments are burdensome. I've got to do this and not do that. But for a believer, wanting to please God and loving God, no, they are not a burden. They are not burdensome. Why not? Well, we know, and as I mentioned, and God's word teaches us, God's commands are for our good. God is the all-wise God. He's given us these commands, and how blessed we are. Therefore, our blessing. Therefore, our benefit. One writer said that the commandments of God are the means by which we live in freedom and fulfillment. God's commands set us free. God's commands enable us to fulfill our Christian calling. So a Christian doesn't find the commands a burden. They do not resent them because they've been born of God. And so verse 4 points and brings us back to being born of God, and we see how this circle flows. And yes, a believer has been given the Holy Spirit. They've been given that power to keep the commands. They've been given that spiritual understanding, so they rightly connect the wonderful love of God and that desire to obey, and they want to respond in obedience and faith. So I wonder what your attitude is to God's commands. There are some who, even amongst Christians, who perhaps at times are a little resentful in their attitudes. There are others who say, well, I want to pick and choose a little bit of what God has commanded. Some say they may want Jesus as Saviour, but not as Lord. They don't want to yield their lives to him and to obey him. But the Bible teaches that if you love the Lord, you should want to obey him and keep his commands. And that's what John is saying. Therefore, our blessing. So keep his commandments. It flows from love. This circle flows. And you'll notice here, as I've said, that John is just going round and he's linking all these three evidences together. So it is clear that a believer is one who doesn't just show one mark, but shows all these three things. They believe in Jesus Christ, they love God and one another, and they seek to obey him. And we see how this flows full circle. And as we come to verse 5, John ends very much in verse 5 as he's begun in verse 1. But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God, that's the vital truth, that's the emphasis of the doctrinal mark, these fundamental things, but that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, we do indeed. If you're a believer, we should be showing all these evidences of Christian discipleship, of faith. If you imagine a court case and the lawyer is trying to prove something, they have some evidence. They've gained one piece of evidence, then another piece of evidence, and it's not conclusive. But then they have another piece of evidence, a third bit of evidence. And when that comes together, they could see that, yes, all those evidences flow together and all three are needed and all three are vital. And so it is. John is saying you must have these evidences, all three, that you are a Christian. And it's necessary to once more examine ourselves in the light of what John is teaching. Do you bear these marks of a Christian? Well, thirdly, as I think we've noticed, I think in that last section, that circle, the general theme of these verses, but I want to come again to the word overcome or overcoming. So third heading is overcoming, because John brings this in the linking of these themes. He brings this to us in both verse 4 and 5. We read three times. How do we overcome? Well, it's by faith. So again, linking, we're born of God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if there's any doubt about that, end of verse 4, it's by our faith. And then verse 5 reads, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Again, that faith that is mentioned. So this overcoming isn't someone having a personal victory in their life. They've had a problem, but they've managed to overcome it. They've done something and they've kept it. It isn't someone who has passed an exam, which they've really struggled, but they've overcome and they've managed it at last. It isn't someone who for many years has sought that job at work and has eventually got it and they've gained promotion. No, this overcoming isn't those things. As we have here in verse 4 and 5, it is overcoming the world. Now John has mentioned this before. It's something which John emphasizes in this letter. We see themes coming back. The world here is Satan's worldwide system of deception and wickedness. It is that area of belief which relates to not believing God. It's all those ideas which resist God. It is the world around us. John, and we've noticed them separately, has already written about this, 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. And he, in his generally blunt terms, says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He goes on to say the world is passing away. John has taught that, but he returns to that theme. If you're a believer, you have overcome the world and you need to continue to overcome the world. So what does this word overcome teach us? It teaches us that we're in a battle. There's something to overcome. A battle that needs to be won. I mentioned that sort of hand-to-hand combat. Someone with a sword and a shield and fighting and gruesome. But you have to overcome. Because if you don't, you've lost the battle. And if you're a Christian, you're engaged in a battle with the enemy. The Bible tells us the enemy is the world. All those ideas which are anti-Christian. And there's many of them out there, aren't there? It's our sinful flesh.
And again, you know that. If you're a believer, you know how you have a heart of sin which wants to rear itself up. And of course, Satan is the great enemy of the believer. And we know this is mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. Paul mentions it in his letters, Ephesians 6 in particular. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Ephesians tells us we need the armour of God, such things as the word of God, such things as prayer. And here the emphasis of John is our faith. He points to faith, verse 4 here. "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." And the tense here conveys that it's an overall, it's a once and for all act. And the point is this, that as you put your trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who was the one sacrifice for sins, you become a sharer in his victory over sin, over death, over Satan, over hell. And you gain that victory because he has gained that victory. If you're a believer, that is your blessing. Notice what John is saying here. Whoever is, or whatever is born of God, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And so the victory of Christ becomes our victory. But a Christian has not only overcome the world, but he, as John says here, overcomes the world. So there is a sense, as a believer, you are united to Jesus Christ. It is finished. He's gained that victory. But the victory won, you must appropriate day by day by faith. Every day you are to live by faith. And you are to live out that faith. So that when the pull of the world, when the temptations to sin come, that you put your trust in God and you overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, you say no to temptation. You resist sin. Remember that if you're a believer, you're on Satan's hit list. He wants to deceive you. He wants you to draw your way from God. And so, John is saying, yes, we've overcome and the victory is assured, but day by day, we must seek God's help to continue to overcome. And if we fail, we must confess our sin and come back to the Lord. And so, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So we have overcome and we seek to continue to overcome. Now perhaps you say, well, do we need to fight this battle? Why can't God end this conflict once and for all? Well, first we know that Satan is a real enemy. He wants to ruin your Christian life. And we must remember, the Bible says that Satan will be our enemy until the end of time, when Christ comes and the end of our age. You need to realize that there is a battle and you need to overcome Satan. And we are to do that through the armor of faith, embracing God's word of truth, but also we are to pray that God will help us. We need to stand. But also, as we think about why do we have this battle to continue, remember when you overcome, it is God who gains the glory. You bring glory to God's name. God doesn't take a believer straight up to heaven when they're converted. He has a work for you to do. He wants you to continue to overcome through his power. And each time you do, you bring glory to God. when you embrace the weapons that he's given you, when you put on the armour, when you stand against the enemy of Satan, then glory is to the name of God. So this is important. We gain the victory through Christ, but we are to continue to overcome. Now, sometimes you struggle. Sometimes we're discouraged. Sometimes the enemy, perhaps its influences, perhaps its people who are non-Christians, Satan is subtle in the way he tempts us. Perhaps you are discouraged. Well, come back to the Word. Come back to embracing the armour of God and all that that means, trusting Jesus Christ. But I want to just notice in John's Gospel 16, another of those overcome words which John mentions, just remember this. If you're discouraged, if you struggle, remember and rejoice in the victory that Jesus has obtained on the cross. And as Jesus was instructing his disciples, John 16, verse 33, in John's Gospel, we read these words. These things I have spoken to you, but in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So remember that. When you're discouraged, when the news makes you downcast, when you realise and it seems as if Satan is so powerful, and he is, but God is greater. Because what do we read here? In the world, you will have tribulation. There will be troubles. Personal ones, general ones, the church often on the back foot. But what does Jesus say? I have overcome the world. Jesus has gained the victory which John is talking about. He has gained that victory. And so you, if you're a believer, what can you have? Well, Jesus says, in me you may have peace. Peace with God. Peace that your sins are forgiven. Peace that through Christ you will gain heaven. This is the blessing for all those but overcome through Jesus Christ. Well, as I conclude, as we thought about these verses, let us just rejoice in these great truths which John brings to us. Remember, you must be born again. You must be born again. There's no other way. You must know God's work by his Spirit in your heart. And when you believe, when you trust Christ alone, that is an evidence of the new birth. And when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, when you love one another as God has loved you, when you obey him, because of that love in your heart calls you to obey, then those are the evidences that you are a believer, that you're following Jesus Christ. And the wonderful truth is that in him then you will overcome. You will continue to overcome. You have overcome because of Christ and your union with him. But you continue to overcome. And you are a partaker of that victory because you belong to Jesus Christ. May we know what it is to belong to him. Sometimes we have heard things before. If you've been in a lecture sometimes, a lecturer will say things and perhaps you think, well, why does he keep telling me? If you asked him why he keeps repeating certain things which are important, he would probably tell you, well, look at your last test, you didn't really understand. And we need to keep coming back to the wonderful truths of the Bible that we're saved through Jesus Christ. And in him there is that victory. That victory for eternal life in heaven, which is secured for every believer. But that daily victory in those battles, that you can claim those victories through Christ who strengthens you. May we then know what it is to overcome in Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll conclude by singing hymn number 652. Verse 4 reads, "Nearer, still nearer, while life shall last, till all its struggles and trials are past, then through eternity ever I'll be nearer, my Saviour, still nearer to thee." We'll sing hymn